I am not an attorney. I do not practice law or give legal advice. I, as any of you can and should, study law and tell people what I've learned and how I've gathered the information. I do not give any information as advice to apply to a specific case, but as general information regarding the law, which, by the way, belongs to the
weighing
people.
Into some other
Please use
areas.
the information for educational purposes only.
Who's being naive?
We know a couple of people that are personally responsible for the death of, what, 50,000 non-military personnel? Librarians, teachers, doctors, women, children, all dead. We've wiped out entire cultures. And for what? You guys think you're above the law, you ain't above mine.
Nico, we don't have time for this. Get in the dadgum car.
You know how naive you sound.
Why?
Senators and presidents don't have men killed.
Okay, now we turn to a very important area. We're going to be looking at due process. We're going to be looking both at procedural and substantive. And you have to know the difference between the two. So let's start out with procedural due process. Here's a definition. The procedural safeguards of notice and a hearing, procedural safeguards of notice and a hearing are available whenever there is a serious deprivation of any life, liberty, or property interest. Procedural safeguards, there are two of them, notice and a hearing. They are available whenever there is a serious deprivation of any life, liberty, or property interest. If the question is testing you on notice or a hearing, then you are dealing with procedural due process. It's that simple. Now, it doesn't matter if the interest involved here is a right or if it is a privilege. The court has rejected this distinction. And I can tell you the only time I'm going to say this today, it is always going to be a wrong answer. If you see an answer choice that says that something is a privilege, comma, not a right. Something is a privilege, comma, not a right. If you see that on the multi-state, it is always wrong. The court does not use this distinction any longer when dealing with due process. Now, in the area of procedural due process, to determine if a person should be afforded a hearing, the court balances the severity of the deprivation to the individual against the governmental interest in administrative efficiency. In other words, how much is it going to cost to hire state personnel to give hearings to these people? So you balance the severity of harm to the individual against the government interest in administrative efficiency. Now, from case law, as you may know, there are certain enunciated due process liberty interests and property interests. So let's go through the short list so that you can recognize them if they come up. First of all, under liberty interests, we have the right to contract. Right to contract. Second, we have the right to engage in gainful employment. Fairly similar area. The right to engage in gainful employment. A third area, the right of natural parents in care and custody of their children. And another one, the right to refuse unwanted medical procedures. That is the Cruzan case, the right to refuse unwanted medical procedures. Now let me give you an example from a recent exam. An individual decided he wanted to set up a donut store. So he went out to a mall and leased a building. He leased the store. He then contracted to purchase all of the equipment necessary to make donuts. And then he went to the city to apply for a food vendor's license. And all of the requirements on the application, he satisfied. He totally complied. And then he got back a letter in the mail, and it just said, application rejected. That was it. It was just stamped rejected. No reasons. He's now challenging the city's action. What would be the strongest argument he could make? Well, here the city's action interfered with his right to contract. You could argue it interfered with his right to engage in gainful employment. So the strongest argument he could make is that the city action violated procedural due process. He should have been given a hearing, an opportunity to be heard as to what the reasons were why his application was rejected. So that's how it's come up on the exam. All right, let's turn next to the next type of procedural due process interest, property interests, or as they're sometimes referred to, property entitlements. And again, if there's a deprivation here, notice and a hearing should be made available. First area, welfare benefits. Welfare benefits are based on need, and if the state cuts off and terminates your welfare, you are entitled to a prior hearing. Another area, disability benefits. Here again, the individual whose disability is cut off will be given a hearing. Now, some of you may know that in certain cases, the hearing is prior termination, and in other, it's post-termination. What's the difference? Well, there's really no great difference. As long as the individual is given some type of a hearing, there's no violation. If the interest which is being terminated is very serious, like cutting off welfare, which is based on need, then we get a prior hearing. If it's based on disability, which is also important, but there's a lower risk of administrative error, since disability termination is supposedly based on highly reliable medical evidence, then you still get a hearing, but it's a post-termination hearing. So it doesn't matter. As long as there is some kind of hearing, it can be either pre- or post-termination. All right, so we have welfare benefits. We have disability benefits. We also have the right to public education. Let's say a high school student is suspended for misconduct. That student is going to be given some type of procedural safeguard. The student must be given an opportunity to be heard, because there's a likelihood that such personal subjective factors were involved in the suspension that the student should have an opportunity to rebut when there's a suspension based on misconduct. But let's say you're a medical student and you are dismissed for poor academic performance. Well, here, poor academic performance at a medical school is based on more reliable statistical evidence, and in this case, for academic dismissal, there is no due process safeguard for an opportunity to be heard and appear personally. Okay, another area for property interests would be garnishment of wages. If your wages are garnished by the state, you're entitled to a hearing. And finally, we have the area of continued public employment. There is an opportunity to be heard, which must be afforded, where an individual who is terminable for cause has been denied public employment. Now, what does it mean, terminable for cause? Well, most public employees are terminable at will. They do not have this due process right. But there are a couple of types of professions where there is, in the contract, a stipulation that says the individual is terminable for cause, and those people do get a hearing. Who are they? Tenured teachers and civil service employees. In the cases of termination of a tenured teacher or a civil service employee, there is a due process property entitlement, and the individual is entitled to notice and a hearing. Okay, so that is due process. We've covered both procedural we've talked about liberty interests and property interests. Now what we're going to be doing is turning to the area of takings. the area of takings. Both the 5th and 14th Amendments provide private property shall not be taken for public use without just compensation. Now, in order to constitute a taking involves either, number one, a confiscation or physical occupation, either a confiscation or physical occupation, or number two, a regulation which leaves the owner no reasonable economically viable use of her land. A regulation that leaves no reasonable economically viable use. Let me give you a couple of examples here. An example of a confiscation would be the Nolan case, where the public was granted an easement across the landowner's beachfront property. The argument there was that there was a taking, there was a confiscation, taking the beachfront land and turning it into an easement for the public. So that's an example of a confiscation. As far as a physical occupation, you may recall the Loretto case, a New York City ordinance that required all owners of rental units to install a little tiny cable TV wire down each and every hallway into every rental unit in the city. And the owners of these buildings decided that they wanted some type of recovery for the cost to take up the carpet and install this little wire. They argued that this wire was a physical displacement. It occupied space and it was a taking, and they were entitled to damages, and the court agreed. So a cable TV wire constituted a physical occupation, a taking. Now, as an example of a regulation that leaves no reasonable economically viable use, this is the main case in the area, the Lucas case. Let me give you the following fact situation. Let's say that the state of South Carolina passes a zoning ordinance which, in effect, precludes the buyer's ability to develop his coastal property. The law prohibits any owner from building any permanent habitable structure. So here, based on this zoning ordinance, the buyer was unable to use his land and develop it for any purpose. He paid $1 million for 2 oceanfront parcels, and now he can't develop it for any type of purpose. The court said this is a taking. It was a denial of all reasonable economically viable use. So this is the main case in the area, the Lucas case. All right, now there are three methods in which property can be taken. Three ways to take property. The first way is by what's called eminent domain. Eminent domain is the power of the federal government and state government to take property for public use. The power of the government to take private property for public use. The result, when property is taken by eminent domain, just compensation must be paid. Title passes immediately. Then there is litigation as to the amount to be paid. Second way to take property, inverse condemnation. This is an action against a government entity where the property has been taken without using eminent domain proceedings. For example, an action against an airport for excessive noise and interference with use and enjoyment of land. Inverse condemnation. Same result, just compensation must be paid. But the third and final way to take property has a different result. The third way to take is by police power. This is where the state generally passes some type of an ordinance for health and safety purposes. And the argument that the state makes is that this is not a taking. Rather, it is a permissible regulation under police power and no compensation need be paid. So this is the argument that the state is going to make, police power, and again, the result is just the opposite. No compensation is paid where it is concluded to be done under police power rather than by eminent domain or inverse condemnation. Okay, so that is the area of takings. It's an area that crosses over between constitutional law and property, and occasionally it has come up on the exam. Okay, now we are going to get back to due process, and we're going to look at the flip side. We've talked about procedural. Now we're going to talk about substantive due process. Now, modern substantive due process today has two different strands, two different parts. The first part is economic regulation. Second part, fundamental rights. We can discuss economic regulation in less than a minute. There is very little law here today because economic regulation under substantive due process is subject only to rational basis scrutiny. In other words, to be upheld, an economic regulation need only be reasonably related to a legitimate objective. And just about any type of economic regulation you can think of is going to have some type of legitimate objective or legitimate purpose. Just about any economic regulation could pass this test. So there's not many cases in this area today of economic regulation. Just about any measure would be generally upheld. Now, the area of fundamental rights. This is a very important area. Today, there are three areas of fundamental rights, three groupings that fall under the heading fundamental rights. We have the right to privacy, we have the right to travel, and the right to vote. Now, in the area of fundamental rights, the test that is used is strict scrutiny. The government regulation must be necessary to a compelling interest. Strict scrutiny applies to fundamental rights.
That seemed to be pretty straightforward. Welcome everybody to the Greg Dahl Show, focused on remedy. And of course, that other guy may be in a little bit later on to discuss a couple of things. As always, I appreciate everybody who comes in live, takes time out of their Tuesday evenings or afternoons or what have you, to kind of come on board and get together and just talk about a few things. We do have our normal cast of characters in. And I appreciate all the guys who come in and the ladies as well who come in to add something to the show. And before I get to jumping into, you know, what I have going on today, which is, you know, enrollment in Greg Dahl's College and Squid University, of course, I wanted to bring on, and Sister Layla, if you're out there, which I saw you earlier, press the number one for me. So I know that you're prepared to tell everybody about your dynamic show that comes on every Wednesday at 11 o'clock on Thor Ministries. And then we have, of course, Brother Sharif, who always pops in there, and here she is, and I appreciate her coming in. Sister Layla, welcome to the Greg Dahl Show, Focus on Remedy. Tell everybody what we have, what you have planned for us for tomorrow.
Greetings, Greg. Thank you. Welcome. Greetings, everyone. Tomorrow on Thor Radio Network, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, we will have the woman re-elevated. We're going to have a water expert, Brother Naeem Bay will be joining us. He's in the water business, and we're going to be talking about water in general, how it affects our health, what it is that we need to be doing. There's an issue concerning water rights, and we're going to be talking about water rights. He's very adept in that area, so please come and join the conversation. Any input that you may have or any questions you may have, we will welcome you. The call-in number is 657-383-0332, 657-383-0332. And the website is on Blog Talk and it's Thor Radio Network. Thank you so much, Greg.
Oh, I appreciate you for stopping by as always. And again, everybody, you get an opportunity to hear the good folks over there at Thor Radio Network. And of course, Brother Sharif is always one who stops by the Squid Show. And Sharif, if you're out there, press number one, I'm going to wait for Will to come in. If you want to get some useful information, not that information you get other places may not be useful, but a cat who's given me, I can't even tell you how much he's done to help me and expand my knowledge base. Check out Brother Sharif. When I say he goes in, he goes in. Another person who had an outstanding show this weekend on the Greg Dahl Network with Brother Jaime. What's going on, Brother Jaime? Tell everybody about your show and how they can catch you. I guess he's going to be shy for a little while.
What's going on?
What's going on, brother Jami? Tell everybody about your show and how they can catch you.
Reaching Beyond the Call on Sundays. Call in number 917-889-2856, man. You can catch us there Sunday at 12, man. We'll be going in and we're just discussing everything under the sun, whatever we need to be talking about, man.
And we had a pretty riveting conversation this past weekend. And everybody can go to Brother Jami's, actually it's blogtalkradio.com/Greg Doss or what have you, but just type in Brother Jami and y'all went at it pretty rough and rugged. Of course, with empowering information on Sunday. I think everybody, and we have something I'm pretty sure interesting coming up on this Sunday coming up as well. But for people who may have had some difficulties in many things in life, and you know, Brother Jami is a great spiritual advisor, spiritual leader. I think you should take advantage of the opportunities to get these shows off the downloads that Brother Sharif has put in. I don't know how many hours with Thor Ministry. Sister Layla now has added on her own hours as well as the hours she's dedicated by using Brother Sharif or with Brother Sharif. I can't even tell you. We've probably done over 2,000 shows with Greg Doss and DJ Squid through either the Man Mindset, Prove It Wrong, or the Greg Doss Show and the DJ Squid shows that I've been running for some time. And I want to make sure I do say happy belated birthday to Steve the Dean Williams, who makes it possible for us to come here every week on this network and has been, you know, a pillar for the last 7 or 8 years that I've been doing, 7 to 8 years that I've been doing this. And I greatly appreciate him. He just celebrated a birthday. And oddly enough, Dean and his two children have birthdays, I think, in 3 successive days. It's pretty interesting. So, again, with that being said, we're going to keep on moving. Before I tell everybody about the enrollment into Greg Doss College and Squid University, and you can actually, it should be pretty evident just by going to gregdoss.com and some of the things that we're going to try to get done before I transition into some different areas. And as always, the interesting one, William, our credit man, Will, tell everybody about what you do and what you have coming up. Hopefully Will will be starting his own segment. We actually have one more segment at least to do as far as Professor Crowley at Squid University. But Will, tell everybody what you do and how they can get in touch with you.
I just sent you a text. Did you get it?
It's pretty interesting. You send me a text. August. Who cares? Will's birthday is on August 22nd. I guess he felt left out. Not that anybody cares. go ahead, Will.
All right. Happy birthday, William and Kimber Crowley, the credit man. I'll do that myself. Anyway, I was on the 22nd of August, but I was late getting on because I was responding to some imbecile on Facebook who was telling people to go and pay their collection accounts and they'll straighten out their credit that way. I've been doing this for about 16 years and I'm in a close alliance with a brother named Sharif on his phone as well. We definitely don't encourage anybody to pay collection accounts off. And for people to be spreading that type of vermin over the Facebook is actually a treasonous offense and should be tarred and hung. And that's exactly what I mean. What we do in our credit restoration program is 4 stages. First of all, we tell people if you're going to do it yourself or if you're going to use our services, we encourage people to use the Fair Credit Reporting Act. These are laws that have been put in place by Congress since 1971. And so what happens here is that the credit reporting agencies are violating the law by putting information on your credit report. And I don't care what it is, positive or negative information. They're violating the law because they're not verifying anything. The Fair Credit Reporting Act, through its 96 pages of law, stipulate that. Now, will you find that exact verbiage what I just said? Not exactly, but the laws are all leaning in that direction. So to summarize and to generalize it and make it, you know, easy for people to understand, is that violation of due process. So we're removing information that does in fact belong to you. And sometimes I remove information that's positive that does in fact belong to you, because what most people come to me for is to have negative information removed, which is cool. So that's the first step. Now, that's what most credit repair companies across the country do. I want to show you the distinction between us and them. We send the disputes to you. We encourage you to make copies. We don't have no patent on this. Okay, this is the Fair Credit Reporting Act. It's general knowledge to the public. So I'm not trying to act like we have some type of exclusive computer search program that goes in and does this. All we use is the Fair Credit Reporting Act, which is a substantial measure in addressing the negative issues on the credit report. Secondly, what we do is we encourage people, like I was going on to my rant about the Facebook entry about paying collections. Never pay a collector, but never ignore the collector. What I do is I'll stop the collector from attempting to collect the debt from you by issuing what you call a validation of debt. If you want to do that yourself, look online and get the validation of debts, folks. I'm not going to give you my specific validation of debts. That's why I have my service here, okay? But I do encourage people, if you're going to try to do this stuff yourself, the Fair Credit Reporting Act is there. The Fair Debt Collection Practices Act is there. Uniform Commercial Code is there. Become creative and do it your own way. But nevertheless, we're still fighting them, whether you're using me or you're doing it yourself. Clients, not to pay the collectors, but don't ignore them either by issuing a validation of debt. You're going to stop the collectors. Now, Brother Sharif, I don't know if he's already went or spoke or not, but what he can do is help you to be duly compensated for the anguish that they've taken you through by suing these collectors. I'm in total support of that. Okay, so but I don't do that. What me and him do something totally different, okay? But we're aligned with each other because we're going after this beast or this monster, and we want you to be compensated for it. The other two steps that we do in the Credit Restoration Assistance Program is Federal Trade Commission follow-up letter and cease and desist. Okay, so for those of you who are out there that want what I call a truly complete credit repair program, take a look at our four-stage credit restoration assistance program. We have a money-back guarantee, and we don't sit up and make some abstract promises about we're going to clean your credit up 100%. I promise you I won't. That's kind of ironic and sarcastic. But what I'm telling people is that we're going to address every negative issue on the credit report. If we can't get it off, then we'll show you how to put the 100-word statements in there where the banks will acknowledge them. So everything's going to be addressed. It may not be deleted, but everything's going to be addressed in some form or fashion. Okay, and then we use the Federal Trade Commission follow-up letter and the cease and desist, folks. So this is what we call a complete credit restoration, not just disputing the information on the client's credit report. You can reach me at 727-798-3092. I have a Facebook page, which is Bad Credit History Repaired. Bad Credit History Repaired. My website is badcredithistoryrepaired.com. And then I have a YouTube channel. I think it's the Four Secrets of Repairing Your Credit. Contact me, folks. I mean, I've been doing this for 16 years. I've got the same phone number, and I've been working out of the same area, which is in Florida, but I do my service. I provide my services in all 50 states. I'm credit restoration assistant, not credit repair. We go much deeper than the credit repair. William McKinley Crowley, National Credit Restoration Assistant. Thank you, Greg.
And I appreciate you. And also before, and don't go too far, because we're going to get into other than the Squid University, and hopefully that you will come on and contribute a part of with the credit restoration before I get out of here and move on to some of the things that, of course, you know that I'm working with, and my dear brother who's helped me so much with enhancing my overstanding of federal procedure, the gentleman that you so eloquently spoke about, Brother Sharif. Welcome to the Greg Dahl Show, Focus on Remedy.
What's up, brother? What's going on? I'll be quick. Kitten, they call a lion. Of Judah, Brother Sharif, we on Pillar Radio Network. I think you heard my illustrious goddess and lioness, Layla. I love a dirty credit report. You know, I don't want them to clean it up. Will wants them cleaned up because, you know, you want to get out there and you want to put your boat in the water and sail the sea of commerce, and that's good. But if you want to go ahead and I take that dirt and make it out of some money, teach you how to sue them, scare them, make them run, make them jump, do double dutch, all that kind of stuff. At the end of the day, I go after the dirt that they've left in your credit report while residing there. So you can reach me on an email address at staff, STAFF, at Thor, THOR, Law Group, LAWGROUP.com. You can get on my email list. And we're on Tuesdays, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Layla's on Wednesday, and I have a metaphysician Master Teacher on Thursday at noon to get your spiritual foundation intact, because you won't be able to be much successful once you're angry about what they've done to you credit-wise, and you probably sat years thinking you couldn't improve your credit, paying 29% interest and being declined for all of the blessings that you are entitled to in commerce. So, you know, you can come see us. You can come see both of us. You can see all of us, but I'm a capitalist. I'm about the money. So that's about all I got, Greg. I'm listening in. I'm a student. I'm sitting in. I got my book bag on, my pen, my paper. I'm ready to roll.
Hey, and as many of the youngsters around the nation are beginning on this embarkment on within the public school system, I know Will's going to jump in on that as we we're almost going to use this as an open forum up until that other guy gets here. And we talk about the easily deceived. That's why I'm so glad that Brother John V is available for us today. And he's going to tell you how to turn your Bibles to Corinthians 15 and 33. And we're going to kind of go in a little bit, and it's going to be a little bit of an extension of what he did this weekend. And Brother Will being here, and Sharif as well, and I think Sister Leda was on this weekend as well. I think it's going to give us an interesting opportunity to continue. Now, what we do at Greg Dawes Doctrine Productions Self-Help Services hopefully help you change your perspective on the way you look at, you know, traffic tickets, child support, some of the I guess we'll call the lower level, you know, boxing matches that you may go through just in trying to navigate through this particular maze called life, so to speak. And we show you, and we attempt to help build your confidence, but of course I can't put anything into you that's not already there, but I can try to show you how to benefit from, you know, my life's experience and kind of show you my way of doing things, and hopefully it can help benefit you as well. We've had quite a bit of success, which is interesting enough for those who take the time to just sit down and listen and kind of brainwash themselves, and I mean as far as cleaning yourself from what some of the things that you've been told are the way that you should behave, the way you should think, and some of the other what have yous. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit distracted as I'm thinking about something, Will and Sharif, as it relates to, you know, the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act and, you know, this credit stuff. We have an interesting dilemma on the horizon, don't we, Will, relative to the dollar and what have you?
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I want you to kind of delve into that. And by the way, let me go give everybody this before you get in. Will, I appreciate you. I'm going to tell you this on the air for coming in and giving us your time, your efforts, your energies, not just as it relates to the Fair Debt Collection Practices Act, and you, Will, Sharif, but also your historical understanding of things. And you give people books that they can read. You give them, you know, Will and I argue a lot off air, people, but I think it's for the help of building one another, iron sharpening iron. And I've grown so much from what you've given me from the educational aspect of things, as well as your perspective. So I appreciate you bringing it to people. And, you know, Sharif said, you know, I've given people a master's degree worth of information over the years. And I'm going to tell people, Will has given you, from our prior shows, a launching pad, and Sharif as well, and Brother Jami, for building your mental toughness and even the desire to challenge certain things. Because if you're not pissed off by the time you've heard these two gentlemen speak, or inspired by hearing Jami speaking, of course, the ladies that come on from time to time, I'm just going to say something's really wrong with you. Now, I'm always angry anyway. But if I weren't as angry as I am anyway, listen to these brothers explain to you how we've been screwed, duped over, and what you say, and how much vermin has been spread across. Let me tell you something. I was watching Bernie Sanders hop on Alan Greenspan today, and it brought back memories. I need to get Ron Paul when he jumps on as well. But, Will, I appreciate you nonetheless. And everybody, if you want to get into Squid University or Greg Dawes College, go to gregdawes.com. Navigate, the information is there. And if you have any questions, just call me 813-397-9350, 813-397-9350. And if you don't have a cell phone or what have you, just stop by a payphone and call 1-800-980-0497, or of course 888-DJ-SQUID. But Will, what's going on out there, man?
Hey, a lot. And I love it when me, you, and others do disagree. That's a good thing, because we understand coalition building. We don't want to agree on everything, but then we won't learn anything. I was talking to the gentleman, Mr. Mims, who I told you about Greg, that hopefully we have him on one of the upcoming shows. He said if he's in a room where he's the smartest person, he's in the wrong room. And I agree with him 100%. So I definitely don't consider myself the smartest person on this call. I may have a certain expertise in the area, but to make this puzzle complete, we need everybody's expertise. Greg, Jami, Sharif, the sisters out there. And I hate, you know, I want to be able to acknowledge the sisters because I haven't got all their names down pat, but they've contributed handsomely, probably even more so than us testosterone-oriented men have. So, you know, give a huge respect to the sisters out there, too. And then Brother Tony, I've been pushing Tony because I hope Tony's going to get on Jami's show with him this Sunday. Let's plug for Tony. Anyway, the economy out there is based on, this is based on what I've read, the little bit of research that I've done and kind of overstanding the whole phenomenon. One thing I want people to understand about this economy is that anytime you see these mishaps or these inflationary projects that are being implemented on Wall Street or throughout the world, it's all orchestrated. None of this stuff happens, happenstance, none of this stuff is by accident. It's all been orchestrated. I had a conversation with the Wells Fargo banker today at the Sheraton, Greg, and she was sitting up there giving their plastic presentation on how well they help people. And my response was, okay, then let me ask you something then. Most of the people that I sent to you to the banks, that you turned them down for the loans. You turned them down for the loan. But yet still, through TARP and through the repeal of the Glass-Steagall Act, in which you created this fiasco, this economic problem that we have, we bailed you out with no questions asked with our tax dollars. And I'm saying, if we did that without questioning you, then you should be able to get clients done without taking them to the third degree, because they're not asking for nearly the amount of money that the bankers screwed us on in the first place. We bailed them out tax-free. And that's one of the problems of what we're facing today, is because the way we bailed them out with our printed tax dollars. This is fiat money. This is all fiat money. So we have never recovered from the crash of 1929. We've just been artificially kept afloat by printing money that's not backed by any specie or any metal, any gold or silver. We went off of that standard in 1933, and we're still off of it now. So we're going to continue on a downward spiral until the dollar crashes. It may be a surprise to us, but it's not a surprise to them. Now, the next big wig on the block, the next reserve currency, is going to be the Chinese. The Chinese, if you study the Chinese Revolution, when Mao Zedong supposedly took power, that was another, what I would like to say, a Jewish conspiracy of finances. Just the same with what they did with the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917, where the bankers took control under the facade that the workers or the proletariat was going to seize power. That's just a front for the bankers to seize power by creating a graduated tax and a central bank. And that's what they do. Now, what me and Greg differ on to some degree, not fully, is that the Federal Reserve System in this country is not a central bank. Folks, I beg to differ with that, though. It is a central bank. It operates like a central bank. If it walks like a duck, if it talks like a duck, or however that goes, then it is a duck. And it is a central bank in this country, and they're going to crash it because it's not backed by anything. It prints paper money just like a central bank. But they call it a Federal Reserve, and the reason why they call it that is because the courageous revolutionaries in this country were trying not to allow a central bank to be established here because of the devastation that happened in Europe, or that was happening in Europe and is still currently happening. So China was Mao Zedong was propped up during the Chinese Revolution, and was always been friendly to the Jewish cause. And the Jews will remember that. If you do something, the certain elements of the Jewish population will remember that. If you do something bad, they'll remember that as well. But the Chinese have always been in a close alliance with them, because the Chinese Communist Revolution was infiltrated by the Jews, just like the Russian Revolution was. You have to understand this Jewish connection to banking, because they are the ones that brought the Federal Reserve banking system to this country, not the Vatican and not the Muslims. It was the Jewish Rothschilds out of Europe and Israel that brought that banking system here. So that's who we have to deal with. Now, ultimately, the problem is us because we continue to play this game. That crash was orchestrated, and with the creation of the AIIB and the BRICS, which is Britain, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, and soon to be more, they're struggling to create their own bank to bypass the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, and the Bank of International Settlement. The AIIB, which I mentioned, that stands for the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, or the Asian Investment Infrastructure Bank. And those are the two critical elements that's going to help in uprooting the dollar as the reserve currency and replace it with the yuan or the renminbi. I think I may be mispronouncing it, but they use both phrases. But most popular is the yuan or the yuan out of China. But this is by no accident. They are going to crash the dollar, folks. They are going to.
Allow me to roll back. Don't go anywhere. I want to roll back. When he said more, he didn't mean the Moors. I know he was kind of rolling pretty well as he freestyled so well and eloquently. And let me go ahead and state this. My position with the Federal Reserve Bank, as we discussed today, is that I don't think the Federal Reserve is a central bank. And only in as much as it's not backed by anything, it doesn't benefit the people, which is what a central bank should. And if I'm correct, Will, that's one of the reasons Brother Gaddafi is no longer with us, correct?
Because he wanted to back. Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, and as well as there is an alternative, and that the alternative form of business can still be conducted through barter system, which within a central bank, sometimes not only is it frowned upon, there could be some severe consequences for trying to exercise something outside of it. More importantly, when the Federal Reserve is benefiting some select set of people, a central bank should benefit the entirety of a nation, which I know you can say, but because of those who can benefit from it, that will never happen. The other thing is, you remind me of Mrs. Sullivan, though, Will, from I believe Mrs. Sullivan was my ninth grade American government teacher. And she also taught me civics. But, you know, you didn't mention President Nixon in that thing when you wanted to spout off about Mao Zedong. But oddly enough, the Chinese people love Mao, and they also in Mao embrace your buddy Richard Nixon. But before we continue to go into a little bit more, we actually have Miss Tiffany has joined us today. And, you know, I've anxiously awaited an opportunity to have, and I've heard a lot about you, join our show, Miss Tiffany. So welcome to the Greg Dahl Show, Focus on Remedy. And I guess that other guy will just have to rattle a cage for a little bit longer before we bring him in. But thank you for joining the show, and tell everybody who you are and what you do.
What's up, Miss Tiffany?
Hi, Will. It's been a while. Like, what, 24 hours?
Yeah.
Actually, I study the markets. I kind of have been watching BRICS and the AAIB, and they're already taking the legs out of the dollar. We'll be lucky if it lasts a year. I don't think it will. I really don't. I think that we'll be lucky another maybe 2-3 months before they crash the dollar. They've already taken over the petrodollar. You missed that part, Will. You didn't tell them about the petrodollar. That's the only reason we stayed afloat.
Huh? Yep. I was leaving that for you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead. But that was during Nixon. That was during Nixon time. Go ahead.
That was in 1973 when we became a complete fiat currency. We made our little deal with Saudi Arabia that we would protect them, and they would make us the global reserve dollar. They would also make sure that all oil bought, sold, price traded would be done in the U.S. dollar. If you don't understand what that means that every single country that wants to buy oil from Saudi Arabia has to have U.S. dollars on hand. That's big money for us. We don't participate in the transaction, but we take a toll off the top. When that petrodollar becomes... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I thought you were finished. Go ahead. I just want to add to that when you finish.
Yeah, well, when the petrodollar, we're actually right now, Russia is actually pricing gold, theirs in all the oil that they sell in rubles or in the yuan. And we've broken our pact with Saudi Arabia to protect them with our deals with Iran and not going in to tax Syria. That's part of it. So they're not going to uphold their end of the deal. So now they're making a deal with China to price all of their oil in the yuan. So all of those useless fiat dollars are about to come flooding back to our shores.
Yeah. And will you finish that, Tiffany?
Well, yep, that's called a breach of that's called a breach of contract, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what that is.
Yeah, and along with that, with that agreement during the Nixon administration, is that we would not drill for oil anywhere else. We would use them as the exclusive oil producer. But there's oil right here in America that they could use, that we could have access to, and they're starting to drill now here for oil, if you keep your eyes on the news. But that was one of the conditions for becoming the reserve currency, that we would not drill here, and that we exclusively use their oil. And Nixon, also what Tiffany was saying on Nixon, what Nixon did, what he did finalize, what they called us going off the international gold standard. What Roosevelt did in 1933 was took us off the national gold standard. And Nixon consolidated everything and took us off the international gold standard in around 1970, early 71, 72, or 73, somewhere in that area there. And he did become extremely friendly with Mao Zedong. But what Nixon was a shrewd character, and I consider him, I know we look at him, his negative side, but he did have a positive side too, because they would have killed him, but they came up with Watergate, which was character assassination, which was just as bad as killing him. But when he became friends with Mao Zedong, they had plans to disrupt the whole flow of international banking, okay? Similar to what Kennedy was doing, but when he took us off that gold standard, which was the international gold standard, which was an absolute no-no, he was also trying to create alliance with the communists and indeed destabilizing the whole central banking system. Now, it didn't come to fruition because of this little strange thing called Watergate, which nobody on this phone can explain. Nobody on this phone can explain Watergate, and I'm telling you that now, because it was not about that. It's just like the Civil War was not about disrupting the whole lifestyle of slavery. It was not about that. And Watergate, neither was neither that as well. But we can go into that another time. That'll take a while.
I appreciate you giving back my show. 347-838-8420. We have more people on the lines. If you step back, area code 727. Hold on 1 second, Tiffany. 727-504. What's your name? Where you? Welcome to the Greg Dawg Show.
And it is you, me, man. Y'all hit the points I was going to hit already, y'all. They just touched them. I was going to chime in about Nixon, and we'll just he just killed it right then. The lady.
What's up, baby?
Nothing much. You just killed the point.
I'm sorry, man.
Well,
don't leave the petrodollar out and don't leave Nixon out.
On that petrodollar. Go ahead.
No, when Will gets flowing, I think sometimes he gets so very excited, he tends to forget where he is, but that's okay. I can appreciate him nonetheless. 347-838-8420, 347-838-8420. You're on the Greg Dawg Show, focusing on Remedy. And I've already told you all, if you want to get involved in Squid University, and hopefully as well as Greg Dawg's college, because there's some fundamentals that people need to start, I can say getting back to, but the fundamentals of the society in which you live, and I don't just mean what you think you see, but actually why it operates the way that it does. And Brother John Mee, if you're still there, Brother John Mee? I guess maybe he'll come back in, but people having a solid spiritual foundation. I want to get into this whole thing about religion, because you know we spin around for decades just trying to figure out what anyone is. But we might want to start or stop looking at the things that don't matter so much. And the reason I like to have Will on, and even Brother Sharif, when he brings in that's strong, because I'm an alpha guy too, but he brings in a sense of fearlessness, which you're going to have, because when this stuff starts to go this way, it's amazing how many people act as if today and tomorrow are always going to be like today and tomorrow, as if there's no other set of plans going on. And I think, Will, that's probably the foundation or the, you know, the reason why you and I, we had this difference in on what the Federal Reserve actually is. I think it's almost like it's a setup plan as well. There's a lot of people who are very they're very comfortable about something that doesn't really exist, and that's a scary place to be.
Right, and we're not drastically different on that. I mean, it's just, you know, because it was designed, it's supposed to create stability, and it's supposed to help the mass of the people. But these opportunistic bankers, they don't want it that way, in other words.
And the police supposed to serve and protect, but that don't work out either.
Not at all. Well, they serve. Well, Brother Shreve, like Brother Shreve said, they serve and protect the interest of the corporation.
Yeah,
I guess it is working out, then. My bad. They don't serve and protect, is it? And I guess it is.
Well, it does serve and protect the interest of corporations, because even right now, a lot of funeral homes are corporately owned. There's no more of the, I shouldn't say mom and pops kind of style of funeral homes. The bodies are sent out other places to be preserved in many instances. They're dressed in other places. You know, they may have the mom, the original family name, but if you look behind it, who gets paid for it? Everything is actually a corporate, is a commercial affair now. There's no more handshake agreements. Community is not really a community. These are just words that I guess have lost their meaning. 347-838-8420, 347-838-8420. If you have a thought or comment, please press the number one. Be a participant. Don't just sit back on your hands. And Brother John Mee is here. What's going on, Brother John Mee?
What's good?
You know, I was telling the people, you know, based on what Will is telling us, and there's you know, when you're spiritually grounded, you can kind of feel when there's like a disturbance in the force, and the disturbance kind of rises. And you gave me a scripture, which I said I was going to start beating people over the head with, which is at Corinthians 15 and 33. And not because of necessarily the biblical, just the biblical kind of context that it comes in, but within the day-to-day context. And can you go ahead and it's actually still an extension of your show as well. As I'm sure is going to be even more interesting this weekend. But can you go ahead and share with the people what we discussed off air and how it does apply?
Well, when we were talking, and I don't know, whatever was in the discussion, I don't remember verbatim what we were talking about, but which it happens to me often. I don't know, that scripture came to mind because it was whatever we were saying. I don't know if it's something that you had was saying. And then that just came to me, and whatever you're saying was reminding me. But my question to you was, what stuck out about this particular scripture for you? Like, you know, it's kind of like sometimes when we be just talking, and then there's just things that I know that just like hit home for you or whatever. So what stood out in this scripture for you? Like, what was it about it?
The communications, being weary of bad communications as it can destroy. What is it? Bad communications destroys.
It's be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners.
There you go. Evil communication corrupts good manners. And this is a segue into that other guy, because I got to eventually bring that clown in. But what's very interesting is people don't check or research the information or the communications they get. If it feels good at the time, they just hug on it and they run with it. No matter, even if it's detrimental down the line. Or they will refuse good information and just kind of stay where they are. You know, and it's something about giving over to the reprobate mind or what have you. Right. And as we watch the direction that society is moving, I shouldn't say society, just the world is moving. This place, you know, y'all hang out on this rock as I get ready to go back to Asgard. when I sit back and look at this, I almost wonder if people are without souls, spirits, because these kind of shows have become very popular. These, was it The Walking Dead, the whole zombie craze? The whole just mindless movement is becoming more and more popular. And again, it doesn't matter what your particular tenet is, if you want to call it a religion, what have you. But there is something that the universe gave us, the creator of all things gave us, that's supposed to help you discern these things. And for some reason, we almost see, I almost see that people are without discernment.
But then we say, I mean, within that, just think about what you were saying that, because it's kind of like with communication, what do our first lessons of life start at? And who's the first, who, what voice do we hear the most that speaks to us, that has the greatest influence on us when we come through the embodiment of this physical womb? It's the woman. So, and then based on the health of the woman, based on the education of the woman, based on the mental attitude and everything, you know what I'm saying? A child, that's all you know in the womb, you know, what she listened to, what she put in her body. And not only that too, you know, whatever environment she's in. So she's saying she's so responsible for it, because I don't know what type of job that the mother and father did. I don't know what mate that she has and what level of consciousness on, a lack of consciousness, or what, you know, what are they bringing to, you know, her body as far as the nervous system, you know what I'm saying? Everything that could connect to the way that she thinks, how she feels, those emotions, those feelings, all that stuff attached through that fetus, through that womb coming up. And then you saying that this is the general, this is the way that we all have come through, you see, and continuing to come through. So then it's like, where, you know, where is the mindset of our women? You get what I'm saying? Or where are they at? And it's determined the outlook on our generation and the society and how it affects us. And I'm not saying they solely responsible, but they can control and shift the direction that we go to. And definitely, I don't think the men, we can live without them, except those that choose to be with other men. So... So we definitely need, you know what I'm saying?
Let's ruin my show again. There he goes. Man. Hey, but listen, before you continue, before you continue, Brother Jami, Sister Layla, you had a thought or comment. I definitely never, you know, people, if you've been on and then I let you and you go off, press the number one again so you'll pop back onto the screen. Because otherwise, when I mute people so that we have, give people a clear line of communication, they won't have to worry about not being heard again. But Sister Layla, you had a thought or comment.
What's up, Sister Layla?
She says I don't think there should be an issue. You know, this board does what it does from time to time. But Sister Layla, if you're out there, your mic is open. This thing's actually functioning on its own for some crazy reason. You know, I know that Blog Talk has had quite a few problems lately. Hopefully it'll get straightened out, because I'm hearing a little bit of feedback within my headset. Sister Layla, are you out there? Okay, but Brother Jami, hopefully Sister Layla will reconnect with us and we'll be able to hear. But your mic is open, Sister Layla. I hear you heard Sharif for a moment. This thing kind of does what it wants. Yeah, Sharif, go ahead.
Okay. I didn't know my line was still open.
It is now.
I just want to make sure you can hear me. Now, go ahead. Let Jami finish, and then I'll come in later.
Okay. Brother Jami?
Yeah. I'm here.
No, you're saying something about essentially the first teacher, and actually, is, I'm going to use this as a segue point, and hopefully this board will correct itself, whatever the problem may be. As a Blog Talk, everybody, Sharice called me today. I know Sharice show had a little bit of a problem. Dean had a problem the other day, and I guess hopefully my board is okay now. But I want to get ready to get out of here and bring that other guy in, so hopefully you can hold your thought. And what's interesting about this is when I made the came up with the title for the squid segment of the show, about who's responsible for the people being deceived, or who's responsible for whatever level of pain or what have you that we go through from time to time. I think it's time, and Will probably appreciate that I've taken this position now, it's time for us to even look at the students, not just the teachers, although there's a tremendous condemnation within the holy books for teachers who do a bad thing. But sometimes, it's become more and more evident that some of the students have chosen their route. So I'm going to segue in, let the other guy come in for a second. And as always, in parting, sometimes it's not about right or wrong, more important, it's about clarity. And you're not going to reach a resolution if you're not willing to engage in honest dialogue, even the dialogues with yourself. So I'm going to step outside, play a clip from a very great man, and then that other guy will be in here. Hey, I'll see you all next week. Peace and chicken grease. Well. Sharif, did y'all have this kind of problem today on your board as well? Because it just went down on me.
When I call into the 800 number to dial into the system, it was just jammed up. I don't know what issue you're having. What, you can't get out the show, or what is it?
I can't get out the show. Can you make the audios work? I think most of you all are still in here inside the queue. I wanted to play a gentleman. I think may have been misunderstood throughout, but I want to put him on.
You better log in from two different places and see if that.
I am. I always do. So I don't know what happened. I wanted to play Mr. Roberson as he spoke about.
The audio's not playing at all. Yeah, I didn't even get that far, dude. I couldn't do anything.
So I don't know, but at any rate, I guess that other guy won't be coming in today, which is he'll be in, but we won't get to hear Mr. Roberson come in. John, you can go ahead and continue, and if it begins,
What I wanted to say, too, since you're saying her, and what I thought about coming, us entering in, we know the most valuable person, and nobody can take that role like Pac said about the woman in their position. And so entering in, we know the great role that they play in the beginning and throughout and even into our manhood. So to me, what's interesting about that, and we're talking about evil communication, corrupt good manners, telling us not to be deceived. But even thinking about a thought was, as far as men, you know, when we're going through stuff and we're in our most vulnerable stages of life, most of the time, you know, who do we confide in? It's going to be our significant other. You know, that person going to know everything about you, flaws, stuff probably that you won't even tell your homeboy or your closest friends or partners. You know, so just the greatness of the weight that they carry, you know what I'm saying, throughout life, you know what I'm saying, their importance of educating us, of teaching us, of us learning those lessons, and even from the beginning, from the cradle to the womb, coming out of the womb, and even into our adulthood and our manhood. So, you know, all these levels of communication, and even encouraging us, because we look more at seeing what the great men that have been before us and stood, but behind every great man that had to be that woman that was there. You know, they don't always get the spotlight or the credit on how really probably was the backbone in a lot of senses that was holding the glue that hold everything together. And so I think it's the glue answer to our society. And even when it comes to a level of how they've been oppressed to not utilize their voice. And I think that's some of the things that was said about Brother Bart, that scripture up about wisdom and relating to her in the scriptures. And, you know, in the sense of, and we look at the woman and her position, you know, and that feminine energy and the importance of it and then how it was suppressed. And even through our times now, religiously, how I've been suppressed as far as their voice, but yet it's been positioning, they've been positioning and taking this and taking that place back, you know what I'm saying, where they belong at. But it's important for us and our society and communities for a balance to come, you know what I'm saying? And the earth is doing the same thing. Mother Nature, everything is, you know, flowing and taking its place. So I think it, the importance of it has an effect on our communication, our language, you know what I'm saying? The things that we're going through. Somebody said when them kids was riding, the men standing by doing stuff, and here come the woman with no fear of nothing and come right in the middle, even though they got guns or whatever, and come snatching her kid up doing stuff like that. You see what I'm saying? So their importance to how they affect us and the things within this realm that we living in.
Well, I would agree. You know, there's something to, you know, for us to think about when we get to that point as well. Because where did that kind of strength and energy, what happened to it? Where did it go? Why did it go? And again, with the women being the most, the first teachers and what have you, and them being the cornerstone of all life and all society, which I definitely don't doubt and could never disagree with, what makes it, and it probably be better for a woman to come in and talk about it. What makes them so much more vulnerable, so much easier to deceive? Because that's one of the things I believe that Willie Lynch letter spoke to was about, if you could capture the woman, you could essentially take over the, I know they kind of called us a species as if we were something different or unhuman or what have you, but there's a thought process to that, and it doesn't matter what your hue or pigmentation is. What makes the women so easily manipulated, for lack of better words? And if there's a lady out there, I'd like to have the woman speak into that. 347-838-8420. I don't know what happened to my board, and ladies, press the number one and come in and say something about it, because I think it's very interesting. And I don't know why I just seem to have lost the board. But Will, we were discussing that today, and even as a people, so to speak, there's some things that have taken place that make you that you should step back and wonder, you know, where did this level of or lack of, I don't know, not just the knowledge but the desire, where did it come from? I hope Kimba's mic is not dead too.
No, Kimba, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. I've always been. I mean, I've kind of, in a way, I think people became too involved in that Willie Lynch letter, but at the same time, I thought a lot of us misinterpreted it because it was the because of the woman. But they said, "Destroy the black woman, and you destroy the black race." And that's essentially what they said, and because they knew we come from a matriarchal society. Just the problem is we don't know we came from a matriarchal society. Everybody else does, and there's nothing. That's, to me, that's a superior form of society. I'm not sure if people get the impression that's some type of degraded or some type of setback. That's an advantageous position for us to re-embrace, and we should have never let go of it in the first place. Because in a matriarchal society, it promotes equality of the sexes, where in a patriarchal society, all we do is subject the opposite sex and oppress and denigrate them, when we should be looking at it as an equal balance and to say, listen, we need this in order to grow and develop. But one reason why we've let the Willie Lynch letter become, you know, the Willie Lynch letter come to fruition by believing, by not understanding our true nature and then living according to what it espouses. So the problem is, it's us. And when you said you kind of starting to embrace my viewpoint of the problem and the conspiracy being ourselves looking in the mirror, I think that's where it is. We can have all the gurus out there in the world, and they're going to be dealt with. Don't get me wrong. I'm not supporting the gurus that are out there misleading the people intentionally, and some of them do it unintentionally. But the point is that if the people would start to gain knowledge for themselves, like it says in the holy book, my people are destroyed from the lack of knowledge, which actually came out of the Book of the Dead out of ancient Egypt in a different form, phrase, but essentially it's the same thing. Nevertheless, we need to embrace that concept of gaining knowledge ourselves, so we won't be so easily misled. We have to become self-reliant, self-governing, and in order to do that, we've got to gain knowledge. We've got to gain knowledge of who we are, and what we need to do. even like with this current crisis that we're in, we haven't really talked about what we should be doing. We talked about what the elements of the so-called enemy is doing to us, but the bigger enemy is what we doing. What are we doing to ourselves? Are we going to sit here and just let the economy crash? Or are we going to take alternative measures now? But we have to become proactive and stop being, as we were taught, to be reactive. And when I say as we were taught, even though the teacher taught us to be reactive, we embraced it. So that's worse. When we embrace the concept that the teacher is bringing to us, if it's setting us back.
You know, it's kind of interesting. I actually got the thing, Sharif. It says they're currently experiencing an issue with the host and guest lines, and the engineers are working to resolve it at this time. So please watch for updates. Thank you, Blog Talk. But nonetheless, what also has happened over time is we've had such an inundation of maybe corrupted people based upon the scripture, you know, getting bad communication, that even when the youngsters or the younglings go into these public school systems or public school systems, they get the same thing that they get at home. So you get the overabundance of estrogen at school, and there's a great abundance of estrogen at home. And unfortunately, even there's some abundance of estrogen within the so-called males. So, you know, what can be done? And again, are we deceived because we're corrupted, or are we corrupted because we've been deceived? And then who's at fault for that? Because there comes a time when you have information, you have a knowledge or some knowledge, then you can't continue to use and be genuine about it, an excuse of something that happened a long time ago, because you can be deprogrammed. It's a difference of, do you want to keep that bad chip in you that's not benefiting you, or do you want to grab a good chip?
Would you agree that we up against within this society a structure that has a certain particular strength, whether it was we gave it that ability to do it, and we allowed it or not, but yet the fact of what's actually taking place, as far as the position of marketing, in control of the imagery, and so through music, through sound, language, because we're talking about evil communications, corrupt good manners. So the effect that certain music about murder, kill, hoe, slut, you know, B-I-T-C-H in other language, you know, far as in the music, in the content, in the videos, in the music, the way that women are pushed now, projected through the world, through the TV, marketing. It's not meaning that they're a representation of all women, but what do we see more? You know what I'm saying? And so I think it's more about what's in the corporation's interest and benefit financially versus what's moral and what's really right, and the innocence of our kids and our children and our future and our daughters and our sons. And so who's in control of shaping and educating and dictating and drawing them in to different things via media, internet, you know what I'm saying? So we are more in the technology, whether it got like this before the technology, and how did it get like this before the technology, and the technology and advancement now, not helping in the sense of the war that we in for the position of the control of our minds, or our minds being possessed and controlled by others to cause us to become other than who we are, knowing our true self.
Well,
if I could, Greg, I just want to touch on this and say one thing. It is a lot of things going on and this and that, but at some point, we got to take the responsibility and stop taking the easy way out. It's easy to say, I'm like this because the white man this or the propaganda or this or that. At some point, you got to be responsible for yourself, for your actions, for your family, for you got to be responsible. You created it. Nobody created it. You created that. Now, are you going to allow it to be controlled by somebody else, or are you going to get in control of it? I mean, at some point, enough got to be enough to where you do something different about your reality, regardless of what, you know. It's like you be in the world, but not of the world. Just because everybody else knowing it, I mean, just because they say that's what it is, I got a mind, I can read, I can comprehend, and I can find out for myself. Is this the real truth? I mean, is this the butt-naked truth, or is this the dressed-up lie? You know, I think I done shared that a couple of times with y'all, you know, but if not, you can, I mean, there's people on this call, I'm sure, that know that, you know, people want a dressed-up lie. They'll believe anything you tell them, as long as it's dressed up right. They want to feel good. They don't want the real truth. They want what feel good. At some point, amen, we got to get out of our feelings. And you made the question about why women are so deceived. A lot of times, it's just my thought, women make decisions based off their feelings rather than their logic. And I always say this about your feelings, not that they don't matter, but if you make a decision based off your feelings rather than your logic, soon reality is set in. So feel like you can fly, climb on top of the building, and jump off. When you hit the ground, that's reality. That's where I'm at. I'm telling you, you can't fly by jumping off a building. Not that you can't fly, but you can't fly from jumping off a building. I'm going to be in reality. I feel like I can do this here, but reality going to tell me something different. A lot of times we teach ourselves or teach our children, or we learn stuff that it wasn't from our parents. It wasn't from our mother. It wasn't from our father. I tell parents this too. You going to teach your children one thing. Their friends going to show them something else, and life going to teach them something totally different. You got to pray that you instill the best thinking brain in them, that they can make the best decisions and do the best with what comes toward them. You got to play the hand you dealt till you can get another one or a better one. So a lot of times we don't want to take on the responsibility. It's easier for us to say, well, I did it because everybody else was doing it. That's not taking the responsibility. That's shifting the responsibility. Only reason I'm in this situation because of so-and-so and so-and-so and so. No, you're in this situation because of the decision you made.
And that's a powerful word, decision. Get away from that word mistake. Now, to cut you off, UB, we got to stop utilizing that word. I shouldn't say we don't care what y'all do. But that word mistake is misapplied 90% of the time that I damn hear it. Well, you know, he made a mistake. That's not a mistake. That was a decision. You know, there's a Johnny Depp trailer when the guys, it's a new mob movie coming out. And of course, I'm going to go see it. But the guy says, I had no choice. He said, yes, you did. You just made the wrong one. Okay. There's always a choice. Always.
If I could say this, Greg, about a mistake is when you're doing, I guess you made a choice or you made a right decision and you made a mistake doing what's right. That, I guess that'd be a mistake. You'll learn from your mistake and you won't do that no more. You're corrected. A choice, you know, hey, man, you done already made your choice. Ain't a mistake. You're doing wrong. And now you got the consequences of wrong. So don't try to say the consequences of wrong was mistake. The consequences of wrong was the choice you made. You know what I mean? If I'm nailing a house together and I make a mistake and hit my thumb, I didn't intend to hit my thumb, but that was just what I was doing in the process of nailing my house together. But if I chose not to even put it together the right way and it fell apart, well, that was the choice that I made. And now I got to deal with the consequences of it. I went and built it on the beach and it got fucked up. Well, hey, that's the choice I made. And we got to be conscious of the consequences of the choice we made. I mean, really be conscious. Think it all the way through. Don't think for the moment. It's going to pass. No feeling is going to pass. And then, like I said, reality going to hit. Jump off that building. Start clapping. When you hit that ground, that's reality.
You know, one of the things that it goes on often, also too often, it appears that we don't hold our children accountable the way that we were held accountable. So often people say, well, I'm not going to do my kids the way my parents did me. And you ask them, you think you turn out okay? Well, yeah. Okay, well, why do you think that is? It takes, you know, that chastising. You learn more from defeat, and you know our defeat came back in the day with a pretty rough ass whooping. Okay, and until somebody makes you or something comes out that makes you recognize that the other side won't take what you've been used to doing, these things are going to happen. Unfortunately, for a lot of young men, including some that I'm very connected to, they don't learn until they realize that everybody ain't mom and dad. Everybody doesn't have the same level of concern for you.